Well, we're going to have the talk this morning in two parts, interspersed by some songs. And it's going to be basically a summary of what we have been doing in the last month, which has been on the subject of service. Service. So this is going to be a bit of a summary. Don't worry if you haven't been here the last month. All will become clear, and I'm going to throw in a few new bits and bobs as we go along as well. So the subject of service, if we can have the PowerPoint up, please, that would be wonderful. Okay, now I have here some celebrations. Okay, I want two volunteers, fairly young. Yes, that's the advantage of sitting on the front row. I can see you. Come on, that's it. Come down. Okay, want one other volunteer, please. A volunteer. Would you like to choose somebody to help you? It's a good. I mean, this is a good thing. Okay, come on. I'm gonna. So, do you choose somebody? Oh, there we go. Okay. No other volunteers. No other volunteers. Lynn's coming up. Good old Lynn. There is chocolate involved. Right. Okay. Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to tip all them out and then to kind of put them in their own little groups. Yeah. So put all the galaxies to one side, a group of galaxies, group of Twixes, group of Snickers, group of Bounties. All right? And see if they're all equal. This is it. Is there an equal amount of each, you know, or have some got more than others? Whilst they do that, we're going to watch a little video clip. Now, this is a TV advert, okay, from a company called More Than Insurance. Okay, this is from 2005, although they do have an up-to-date advert with a cat and dog singing the blues. Okay, but this is an older TV advert. So when we're ready, perhaps we could have this advert.
Alfie, he's not just a dog. He's a good dog. A good friend, man's best friend, just happily wagging his tail to and fro, back and forth, wiggling and waggling like a conductor's baton that leads life's brass band. But if that baton were to stop, nature's song would be out of key. That's why, with More Than Pet Insurance, you get a vet phone service with expert advice, so you always know the score to bring on Alfie's encore. I'm More Than Freeman. Thank you for listening.
Just one of those adverts I really like. And it has some relevance to my talk this morning. So thank you very much for doing this. What you have shown is that there are more Snickers than anything else, more Bounties than anything else, and only three Twixes. That is amazing. Only four Maltesers. Okay. So what's your favorite? Okay, choose a couple. Go on, choose a couple, and then take a couple to Lynn for doing this. Okay, come and choose a couple. Galaxy caramelly ones for Lynn, okay? She wants a couple of them. But what we have shown here, that actually the chocolates in a celebrations pot are not equal. There are more Bounties and Snickers than Twixes and Milky Ways. Did you know that? Now, that might change from pot to pot, but for this pot, okay, Snickers and Bounties are more than the others. So, if this works, we're going to be using some mathematical symbols this morning when we talk about service, and this is the first one. Now, I hope they taught you this symbol at school. Did they? Okay. Well, this means more than. Please memorize that now. Okay, this means more than. And when we look at this Bible passage that Julia's just read, we see some more than going on, don't we? We see some more than happening. You see, James and John and their mother, now I don't know what's going on here with their mother. They seem quite old to have their mother speaking for them. I don't know whether she is embarrassing them. Mothers don't embarrass at all, do they? But I don't know what is going on here. But she is the spokesperson for James and John. And she says to Jesus, whilst they're standing there, "Give your word that these two sons of mine will be awarded the highest place of honor in your kingdom, one at your right hand, one at your left hand." And Jesus said, "You have no idea what you're going on about." So here, James and John's mother is saying, "I want more than the other disciples. I want my sons to have responsibility and power and authority more than the other disciples." That's basically what's going on here. Now, when we're talking about service, that's not a great place to start. When you've got some people wanting more than for themselves than others. And what it usually leads to is division. And we see this in the passage that we had just read. When the ten other disciples, heard about this, they lost their tempers, thoroughly disgusted with the two brothers. And I like this symbol for division because there's one dot at the top, isn't there? Over and above the dot at the bottom, with a line separating them. It's as if the dot at the top is higher, more authority, more status than the dot at the bottom. Okay, so this is an album cover from 2017. Whose album cover is it? Ed Sheeran. That was quite a lot of you knew that. Okay. I was going to throw some of these out to you who knew it, but okay, Helen says that she knew it. Which one do you want, Helen? Malteser. Okay, this is going to be a test of my throwing skills. Oh, whoa! Who's going to see Ed Sheeran in the park? Fantastic. Okay, so yes, so this is an album by Ed Sheeran. Now, Ed Sheeran is interesting because obviously he's a great musician. He's a singer-songwriter. He writes his own songs. I asked my daughter, who's in her 20s, why is Ed Sheeran so popular as a person? Yeah. And she said, he's down to earth. He's not that kind of celebrity that kind of thinks they're really great and everybody else are plebs. He's just down to earth. He's the sort of person that you would kind of have a chat with in your chippy. She also said that he looks ordinary. You know, he doesn't look like Justin Bieber or someone like that. He looks kind of ordinary. So, where was Ed Sheeran born? Who wants this one? He was born in Halifax. Well done, that man. Yeah, he wasn't born in Framingham. He was born in Halifax. Yeah, just thought I would point that out. So, if you think you are more than someone else, that's not a good place to start in Jesus' book. If you want to serve. Because that often leads to division. So the question is, how do we stop ourselves thinking more highly than we ought to of ourselves? How do we stop thinking more than thoughts? That we're more than other people? That's Ed Sheeran. Okay, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about a story in the Bible called Mary and Martha. Jesus came for a day to their house, and Martha was busying herself in the kitchen, and Mary was in the living room. She was with Jesus, sitting there with his other male disciples, not helping in the kitchen. Martha was kind of getting kind of worked up because Mary should also have been in the kitchen, but she wasn't. She was with the male disciples. And this is an interesting story because we said then that actually it was shocking for Mary to be with the men. To be in that circle of men was not her place as a woman to be. Yet Jesus didn't rebuke her. He included her in that circle. It was as if he was embracing her as an equal, embracing her gender, her womanhood. And we said then, didn't we, that Jesus was kind of treating her as an equal. Now, I hope you can see this on the screen. But I want you to think for a minute. I want you to think, okay, which categories of people, and we might need to turn a light off or two perhaps, which categories of people here on the screen are more than others? As God sees it, in terms of value, are there any people here that are worth more than others? So are men in God's sight, as he values things, are men worth more than women? Are homeless, or shall we say, are politicians worth more than homeless people? Are Africans worth more than Europeans? Are priests worth more than normal people? Are celebrities worth more than refugees? Are those with special needs worth more than those who do not have special needs? And are Norwich supporters worth more than Ipswich supporters? Is anybody on that list worth more than anybody else? And in God's sight, as God views and values humanity? No. No. Yes, we all have different functions, we all have different responsibilities and different roles and different authorities in our world, in our society. But God values us as equals. He does this because we were made in his image. So God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And even though God's created pattern and order has been messed up, he has recreated us equally in Jesus Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And yet, it's so tempting, isn't it, to think of some people worth more than others. They've got more value. They've got a bigger transfer fee. And it's tempting to think, like Napoleon in Animal Farm, that pig who said, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. That is not the case. We can say that before God, we are all equal. So, if more than thinking, if more than thinking leads to division, then to rectify that, we need to have equal thinking. We need to have thinking like Jesus, that we are all equal. Okay, so that's the end of the first part of the talk. We're going to have a couple of songs now that Elona and the youth band are going to lead us in. And I'm going to come back and talk about what was really radical and really different about Jesus' teaching when we have sung these songs. So thank you, Elona. So the three mathematical symbols we've had so far more than, division, and equals. Let's continue with the story. So Jesus got them together to settle things down. He said, "You've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, how quickly a little power goes to their heads. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. This is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage in sin." So really what Jesus was saying was, hey guys, you need to be less than. You need to be less than. You need to be a servant. You need to have the heart of a servant. And Jesus could say this because this was how he was living his life. So can you think, can you think of an example of how Jesus became a servant? Anybody? Can anybody think of how Jesus became? Brilliant. Molly says that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And this was the talk that Nick gave last week about how the disciples had been out for the day. It was hot, it was dusty. The roads, you know, in Palestine. I mean, I've walked in roads in certain parts of Africa, and I can tell you there's more on the road than just dust. You know, it's not a nice business to wash people's feet. But Jesus did it. He became a servant. But there's a broader way that Jesus became a servant. I'm going to get Harry to read a couple of verses, if you would, from Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Yeah.
"So, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made human likeness."
Brilliant. So here is Jesus, who before he came to earth had the grandeur and splendor of heaven. He had in some way, equality, equals, with God. And yet he didn't consider that to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant. You see, everything that Jesus did was about servanthood. By serving humanity, by becoming one of us, this was a form of Jesus being a servant. And as followers of him, we need to, well, do what he did. So somehow, being a servant needs to be what we are too. Now, here is a quote, and it is very challenging. So if you don't want to look at it, look away now. By Richard Foster from the book Celebration of Discipline. He says, "When we choose to serve, we are still in charge. But when we choose to be a servant, we give up the right to be in charge." Now, what does he mean by that? Making this distinction between doing maybe one or two acts of kindness and living as a servant. What does he mean by that? I want to demonstrate. Don't worry, Peter. I'm not. Okay, I would like a volunteer, please, who has black shoes that are the sort that need to be cleaned with polish. Rob, would you like to take a seat? It's Is that sacrilege to put it on the communion table? I don't know. Maybe it is. Okay, so I also want another volunteer to help me clean Rob's shoes. Andrew, you want him up, do you? He is part of your family. I think it would probably work better if this person wasn't part of your family. So another volunteer, please. Dean? Come on, Dean. Thanks very much, Dean. Cheers, mate. Would you like to put the on, or should you like to rub it off? On? Would you like to rub it on? You put it on. I'll rub it off. Okay. I'll make it. Okay. Thanks. If you carry on with this, because I want to put a twist on this now. Okay. This is not happening in St. Matthew's Church. This is happening outside Sailmakers shopping precinct in town. Okay. And this is what we're doing. We're doing it for children in need. Okay, so we're saying we will clean your shoes, but you might like to contribute maybe something to children in need. So this is an act of service, and it looks really good, doesn't it? It looks kind of very respectable. It looks kind of the sort of thing that people in a dog collar might do. I'm sorry, Dean, you haven't got one on, but I can give you one for a few quid. But you know, on the surface of it, it is an act of humility. It is an act of service. It's something that we do. But how easy is it for then it to change from being an act of humility to actually being something that builds us up in pride? You see, some people might come along and say, Dean, you're an amazing guy. This is absolutely fantastic. Can I have a selfie with you? Someone takes a selfie. Not before long, the East Anglian Daily Times are there, okay? Taking a picture of Dean and Rob, and it's in the paper. And suddenly, this act of humility, of being like Christ, washing feet, cleaning shoes, whatever, has become something where we are thinking, this is good, this. Okay, my status, my reputation's going up here. I'm not only considered to be, you know, quite good at jokes or whatever, you know, I'm actually a figure in the community. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? How quickly something which is an act of service can turn into being something which is actually not really service at all, because it builds up our pride. Dean, you're a legend. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Yeah. And not so long ago, as some of you here will know, I went to see Bohemian Rhapsody, the life story of Freddie Mercury, which led up to Live Aid. Do you remember Live Aid? Yeah, 1985. And how Bob Geldof was at the heart of that, and how, you know, it must have been difficult for him wanting to do something for the starving in Africa, but having so much attention put upon him, you know, that it can easily lead to pride, can't it? So I wonder whether there is something in that, in what we're talking about here. We have to be people, if we're really going to follow Jesus, who are people who have a servant heart, who don't do things possibly from what we can get out of it, but we're always wanting the best for others. We're always wanting to build others up and help others. We count it a privilege to be less than. Do we? Do we count it a privilege to be less than? Because when we're less than, this human nature, which is actually the law of the jungle, the survival of the fittest, that says, I will survive, that human nature that always occurs and pops up and is uppermost often in our humanity, that's what needs to be suppressed, pushed down, knocked on the head. And Jesus knows in his wisdom that the way that happens is when we deliberately become less than. With a servant heart, me wanting the best for you, you wanting the best for me. That is when the change occurs. That's when we are truly servants. So how does that look in my life and your life? in your family, as you serve your family. Some people perhaps are easier to serve than others. How does that look in your workplace? How does that look in the world of work? How does that look against my ambition? Can I have ambition as well as have a servant heart? Is it just selfish ambition that's the problem? How does that work in church? In my service here? So, four symbols to remember this passage by. More than. Let's not be more than people. Because more than people leads ultimately to division. Let us instead remember that we are all equal in God's sight. And may that lead to us willingly being less than, so that we can better the lives of others in our community.